I know you can feel it. I can feel it. Welcome to Hagmann. It is the Hagmann Report for Friday, April 4, 2025. It's kind of hard to imagine it's 2025, but here we are. With me today to go over just a number of items is Randy Taylor, RT at HagmannPI.com, if you want to communicate with Randy Taylor. Follow him on X, Randy Taylor _USA. All right. Easy to find. And we're going to be talking to, as the program develops, we're going to be talking about Butler. But assassination attempt and what it means to today. So let me lay the groundwork here a little bit. You know, the JFK file, boy, size, how many size can I do, right? The JFK files, the release, pursuant to President Trump's Executive Order 14176, dated March 17th of this year, stated that all records previously withheld for classification encompassing the President John F. Kennedy assassination records collection must be released. So what do we see? We saw an initial release of 63,400 pages within 2,182 PDF files. Those were posted on March 18. An additional, you know, by the way, they were posted late, I believe. It was at 7 p.m. and 10:30 p.m. online. Now they're available at the archives. Okay. Hang with me for a second. An additional 14,457 pages within 2,566 PDF files were published between March 20th and yesterday. Did you hear me? Yesterday. Did you even know that? Those totaled 77,857 previously unseen or unredacted pages. So, you know, when people say, and you've heard this, oh, this is a nothing burger, nothing here, nothing to see here, nothing new. Told you. Well, how do you know? Have you seen all of these? I'd like to know how you went through 77,857 pages in about 14 and a half hours. Just asking. Or wait a minute, I'm sorry. 26 hours. Right. Exactly. So, but again, based on the reactions of most people and pundits, it appears that they were expecting some sort of smoking gun within the pages, perhaps confirming who shot President Kennedy. Wouldn't that be nice? Maybe written in crayon somewhere, you know? Okay. Others holding onto their baked-in death grip of confirmation bias appear to be looking for validation that a lone gunman forever changed history. And I've spent countless hours on these, going through these files, pages and files. And a lot of this is new and redacted information, obviously, right? And I suspect that both sides will be disappointed. This, however, has not stopped the New York Times and many within the legacy media to declare Lee Harvey Oswald the lone shooter and proclaim that no conspiracy existed. So such assessments illustrate, number one, a lack of candor, or worse, perhaps, the lack of intellectual honesty or prowess by the media, by intelligence officials, and even the public. It's a sad illustration of the lack of depth, the general apathy, or basic understanding of the deception used against us. And I say deception, and I mean deception. We have been deceived. We are still being deceived by members within our own government, by the legacy media. Now, looking at these, perhaps past is prologue. Now, I'm summoning Shakespeare's play, The Tempest, here. Perhaps Pass's prologue has never been so applicable than it is today. Now, as an investigator, and I know Randy Taylor as his status as an investigator, Eric the Tech as well. But personally, I've always believed that if you're not getting answers to your questions, you're not asking the right questions. In the matter of JFK, the JFK assassination files, you will not find any admission, confession of guilt, or at least that I've found, or other overt piece of information that has been hidden from public view for the last 62 years. You will, however, find something equally valuable. And it's relevant to today as it was six decades ago, perhaps more so today. We're going to be talking about this tonight because we have the benefit of those years as not just from a historical perspective, but as a looking glass into current events. Stated differently, the pages reveal a hidden course of conduct or a pattern of facts that are applicable to domestic and foreign events in which deception employed by our own leaders, propaganda used by our own leaders, was used against every American to control the narrative. It's with this template of deception that a complex web of lies exists, covert operations wrapped in secrecy, omission, nuanced details that makes the information within these pages so sinister. It's the same template of deception that has been used against us since the assassination of JFK. Examples are plentiful, from Vietnam and the attack on the USS Liberty, Watergate, the impeachment of President Nixon, TWA 800, Ron Brown, the death of Ron Brown, Oklahoma City bombing, 9/11, chemical weapons in Iraq, COVID-19, the vaccines, Russiagate, the lockdowns, many more instances, right? These narratives have shaped history. But there's perhaps the most chilling aspect of the newly released or redacted files provides valuable insight into the time-tested modus operandi of the deep state. Although the names and faces of individuals have involved in the 1963 coup against the U.S. president, the infrastructure and the methods not only remain, but have vastly refined. They've been vastly refined. Additionally, a fully captured legacy media acting as stenographers of the deep states, along with individuals within our government, whether driven by personal ideology or compromise, have further refined the massive propaganda inundating the population. We witnessed it in mass with the blind acceptance of, like I said, the COVID lockdowns, the mRNA shots. We also witnessed it with the Capitol insurrection and the linguistic assault labeling any opposition to the wiles of the deep state drivers as fascists. Fascists, as I mentioned earlier, has become such a elusive, the definition so elusive, so elastic, but I digress. I don't want to go down that road now. The pages released pertaining to the murder of President Kennedy on November 22nd, 1963 provide very important details of the coup, of that coup. The pages contain vital information of the events before, during, and after the assassination. Heck, Oswald was followed for 4 years prior to the assassination by the CIA, known by the CIA, known by Hoover and the FBI, known by Dulles, known by all of those people. You understand that. George Bush, familiar names, but at any rate, when you look at the pages, this vital information of the events before, during, and after, simply to protect the deep state infrastructure. That's what this is all about. The lack of release was to protect that infrastructure that still exists today. Many of the same methods were used to remove another sitting president, and that's Richard Emmett Nixon. And in my professional opinion, nearly murder then candidate and now President Donald Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania, as well as in Florida, but especially Butler, because that's where the infrastructure is shown, perhaps the most overtly. So the butler did it in this case. When the events detailed in the pages concerning the events of November 22nd, 1963 become fully digested in experts and public alike, parallels to the events before, during, and after July 13, 2024 will become alarming, if not chilling, to everyone paying attention. The intelligence failures outlined in the documents were not failures at all back in 63, but tactics used to enact a coup, then dispose of the patsy. Huh. Just as a Dallas crime scene was tampered with and the accused killed before important facts could be made public, so too was the alleged shooter in Butler. Perhaps the template was so refined that it even allowed the FBI the unprecedented overt activity of power washing a rooftop right in our faces and unquestioned by a complicit media, unquestioned by a complicit Congress. Just as Dealey Plaza acted as a kill box for the coup, the grounds of the Butler Farm Show did the same for President Trump. The eerie similarities that existed in Dallas from the location to the actions of the U.S. Secret Service and some local and state law enforcement officials, as documented in the newly released pages, cannot be overlooked, must not be overlooked. The survival of this deep state depends on secrecy and keepers of those secrets. While the people have changed, the infrastructure still exists. This infrastructure cannot afford to be exposed. Doing so will deal critical blows to the power brokers that comprise a deep state, who are becoming increasingly desperate as their agenda of consolidation of power is threatened. The threat to our nation from power-hungry psychopaths is far from over. It's just beginning, at least now. We are constantly one event away from total chaos, from civil war or revolution. And the fewer people who understand the importance of past actions by the enemies within, the closer we come to such a scenario. Finally, the release of the JFK assassination files is important, and their contents, hidden for over half a century, is enlightening, despite those who state anything else. They're looking for obvious answers, you know, that inch deep and a mile wide, while asking the wrong questions and not understanding the importance of the line past this prologue. Indeed, it is. It's also a warning to be heeded. And that concludes my opening statement. Randy Taylor, come on board.
How you doing, buddy?
Not bad. How are you?
Good, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's quite an opening there. But you're right. The song remains the same.
Yeah. Well, I sat down before the show and I whittled that out. And I wanted to make sure that I remembered what I was thinking and what I wanted to say. So
it's eerily creepy.
Yeah.
When you look at it, and you know, I firmly believe that LBJ and the CIA were up their eyeballs in killing Kennedy. Oswald was a patsy. I have every belief that he did place the rifle in the building. I really wouldn't even argue that with him. I'd say, yeah, they put it there. But he never fired that rifle from that building.
That's very true.
And I would argue that with anyone, because there's no way, and what we saw, and going back and looking at the Zapruder film, and all, you know, and over the years, how many times did they try and convince us that when someone gets hit in the back of the head, that a chunk of scalp will fly backwards. And I'm thinking, have you people ever seen anybody shot in the head? You know what I mean?
Right.
We know the shot came from the front.
Yeah.
There's no... I remember watching a show, it was a leftist show, that How It's Done.
Oh, yeah.
You remember those guys?
Oh, yeah.
And they went and, you know, set up the melon and the whole thing and sat there and tried to bend over backwards to try and convince people that the kill shot came from the rear.
That's right.
And I could not believe all these years later. And I mean, if I showed that film to anybody that's fired a rifle and hit a target, if I showed that video to them, they would disagree with a rear kill shot.
There is absolutely no way anyone could possibly believe.
Do you know it? I know it. Eric knows it. We're all very familiar with firearms, right? How they act when they hit a target. But you know what it is? They just, if they feel that if they keep telling the same lie,
very
people
true,
will keep believing it.
Yep.
You know, and that's, they've been doing that to us, Doug, since I was born. Since before I was born.
Oh, yeah.
They've been telling the same lies.
Yep.
And telling it so many times that people just believe it.
Right.
You know, and we go back and you got a good list of incidents. Gulf of Tonkin we left out. But, you know, the lies.
Well, that was a Liberty attack, yeah.
Yeah, the lies involved. Unbelievable.
Right.
And unfortunately, those lies had become history.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's the saddest part, is that the truth has not been told. You know? And we're talking history books. We're talking, we're handing out to our kids, our grandkids. And they're sitting there and having to listen to these same lies. And it is absolutely nuts. And I know that Johnson and the CIA were involved. I have no doubt that it's very possible that an intelligence agency was involved in Pennsylvania. That's very possible.
No doubt in my mind.
I just, the way things happened, it's like we had discussed before, you know, when you know something, but you can't prove it. But you know it in your gut.
Yeah.
And it's that thing that policemen understand. You know what I mean? Law enforcement understands that. I know it in my gut. How do I prove this? Beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I've even gone back and I'm trying to piece together timing on the gunshots, because the kid got taken out very fast. You know what I'm saying? And I'm questioning, and you and I'll discuss that. We'll discuss that off the air. But, you know, I think I put it in an email to you this week. There's just something there that's bugging me. And until I can solve it in my head, it's going to bug me. And that's...
Yeah, I saw that email.
That's my nature, Doug. You know that.
And I think you're more correct. We still don't know. And no one has provided 100% proof to us that Crooks actually took any shots from the roof.
Yep.
Okay.
And what I said in that email about the guy at the fence, the other fence. And if he popped Crooks right then, and we saw the guys at the snipers on the roof, they're facing this way, and all of a sudden they get up and adjust and go this way.
Right.
Something right there tells me the kid wasn't alone.
Now, you know, maybe it's unfair to really for us to discuss this. So I want to apologize in advance.
You're right. We should.
Well, I think it's important to discuss it. The only thing is we have to be careful of the bumpers. We have to stay within our own lane, you know, only because we are working this case, we do have information that is, it really doesn't belong to us. We developed, but it, you know, we had to turn it over to the client, so it belongs to the client. So we really can't discuss that information in the manner in which we would like. Does that mean we can't talk about this? No, it just means very simply
we just have to be very careful what we
right
say.
Right.
And so, there's a reason. What Doug just explained the reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Somebody else has that. It's somebody else's.
And that too, that information, some of the information, I'm convinced, folks, some of the information that we turned over could very well keep President Trump alive and maybe even be used in upcoming litigation, criminal, perhaps, litigation. But I'm going to stop there. Going back to JFK real quick before I move on, I wonder how many people have heard of the name or the individual named Richard Case Nagel, N-A-G-E-L-L, relative to the JFK assassination. I'm going to check the chat right now and see how many. Yes, no, Y or N. Richard Case Nagel. Have you heard of that name? So, okay, nope. Steeler's mom. Thank you, Steeler's mom, for being like right on the edge of things. Appreciate that. No, nope, nope. Okay. So it looks like we have a kind of, okay, frog in the pot. Oh, yeah. Okay, okay. But pretty much kind of the majority, no. Richard Case Nagel. Vaguely, yeah. He's not talked about too much. Richard Case Nagel was 23 at the time, I think. In 23 at the... Wait a minute. I'm sorry.
No. 33 at the 33. Time. Yeah, 33.
33 at the time. Thanks for that. Appreciate that. He joined the Army when he was 18. He was involved in an air crash in 1954. He's born in the 30s. 24 years old, he suffered injuries in an air crash. He was transferred to Army Counterintelligence. He served as a CIC officer in Korea and Japan in March of 58. He married started a family. Of course, that ended in divorce. But he became a second lieutenant by the time he left the Army in October of 1959. Because of his accidents, he was judged to be 50% disabled and placed on a disability pension. Again, his name, Richard Case Nagel, N-A-G-E-L-L. He was admitted to the Veterans Hospital. Or I'm sorry, let me back up here because these details are important. He did reach the rank of second lieutenant by the time he left the Army in October of 59. Because of his accident, 50% disabled, he was placed on disability pension in December 59. He found work as an investigator with the Department of Employment in Los Angeles. In March of 1961, Nagel did a similar job with the California Beverage Control Board. He was fired in June of 62 for whatever reason. The next month, the following month, he was admitted to Wadsworth Veterans Hospital in L.A., in Los Angeles, California, in what was alleged to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the chest, okay? But he survived that. When he recovered, now this is according to Nagel himself, when he recovered, he began working for the CIA. His position was a double agent and involved him becoming an activist in the American Communist Party. This included distributing Marxist propaganda in Mexico. And he was also supposedly monitoring a group of Cuban exiles plotting against Fidel Castro. He became involved in the anti-Castro Fair Play for Cuba stuff. And somehow he discovered or realized that, hey, wait a second, I'm involved with a plot to kill President Kennedy. So as a double agent, again, with Russia, okay, he informed the KGB that Lee Harvey Oswald, who was also in Russia at the time, was there was a plot to kill Kennedy, and it was a deep plot and so on, and, you know, continued. Anyway, he couldn't get the FBI or anyone to listen. So on September of 1963, on his way allegedly to Dallas as part of this plot to kill Kennedy, again, this is a lot of this is according to him. He walked into a bank in El Paso, Texas, knowing that he was going to be a patsy of sorts. And simply, he walked into the bank, took out a gun, and fired two shots into the ceiling of a bank. Walked outside, put the gun down, sat on the curb, and waited to be arrested. And people, the police said, "Huh? What's going on? What'd you do that for?" Well, he said he did that to isolate himself from the assassination plot. He wanted to be somewhere where people knew he was, like in jail, okay? So he wasn't accused of shooting or being part of the plot to kill President Kennedy. Now, he told Jim Garrison all about this. So I'm just, it's worthy of a look-see, folks. There's a reason we mentioned that. Past is prologue. Okay. There we go. All right. So what do you think about that, Marte? I mean, that's pretty
interesting. Sounds very suspicious. So I just went to bang and popped off a couple shots. Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't even ask for a lollipop or, didn't even steal a pen from the
closet table. It makes you wonder.
Indeed it does. All right. More on Butler, little tidbits here and there as we go through the program. But you know what I want to show everyone? Remember, RT, you and I showed this. Remember, we told you a shadow government was being formed by the left. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And we played a video. In fact, this is cut one in the show notes at HagmanPI.com. We told you. We'll play this again. It's just over 2 minutes, but pay attention to this because we have something new to offer you. But this is important. Here it is. This is cut one.
If Trump attempts to weaponize the justice system against his political opponents with Matt Gaetz at the helm, we could see incoming Senator Adam Schiff as our shadow attorney general, arguing against replacing our independent prosecutors with Trump loyalists. If Trump seeks to eliminate the Department of Education, Congresswoman Johanna Hayes, a former Teacher of the Year, could step up as Shadow Education Secretary to loudly defend public education in the United States. If Trump orders Marco Rubio to hand Ukraine and much of Eastern Europe to Russian President Vladimir Putin, Congressman Greg Meeks, as Shadow Secretary of State, could be a strong voice in support of maintaining international relationships and protecting democracy at home and abroad. Senator Michael Bennett as Shadow Treasury Secretary, and Congresswoman Susan DelBene as Shadow Commerce Secretary could help ensure the middle class and small businesses have a voice in government and call out Trump's proposed tax cuts for billionaires and corporations. As Shadow Defense Secretary, Congressman Adam Smith, a great representative for the people of Washington and not a Fox News host, could counter Trump's threat to use military force against his political opponents and work to ensure that the Department of Defense stays loyal to the Constitution and not some wannabe dictator. And Senator Tammy Duckworth could argue against cuts to the Department of Veterans Affairs that would delay the benefits and care our service members have so rightly earned. If Trump hands over the EPA to big oil ally Lee Zeldin, we could see Congresswoman Kathy Castor pushing back for environmental protection and conservation to protect the air we breathe and the water we drink. And if Trump pushes to ban abortion nationwide, Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro could step in as Shadow Secretary of Health and Human Services to defend women's right to choose and argue against the gutting of Medicare by Trump and his cronies. Mr. Speaker, new times require new solutions. The shadow cabinet isn't just about opposing extreme MAGA attacks on our government. It's also about making clear what we stand for, not just what we're against. If Trump...
Yeah, you can stop it right there. Then enough said. Remember that, RT?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, guess what now? Now you've got the current DNC chair, Ken Martin, coming out announcing that Democrats are forming a shadow cabinet to oppose President Trump, calling it the People's Cabinet. Did you see that?
Yeah, I read that somewhere, and this got to be against the law.
Well,
somehow, some way.
Eric the Tech, can you put up next to Randy and I the attachment that I sent to you, Thomas Paine? This is a quote by Thomas Paine, and I know it's kind of a hassle to flip things around here, but folks, it's worth the wait. And I think this is applicable, and I think this is what the left is driving us to. Folks, you can read that yourself. It's difficult. We have no real hope to survive the enemies arranged against us until we hang the traitors lurking among us. That's Thomas Paine. Thank you for enlarging that.
They need to start with Adam Schiff.
Yeah.
He should have already been arrested. I don't understand why he hasn't been arrested. And I'm not talking about anything recent he's done. I'm talking about going back to Trump's first presidency.
How about even before Trump came on the scene, he was involved in a lot of nasty shenanigans.
Yeah, he needs to be arrested.
Yeah, it's certainly investigated, and if found to be guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors, handled accordingly.
If we can see it as obvious as it is, they would have a heyday with him. Remember, we talked about this before. Trump needs to get these people's attention and let them know that none of them are immune once they step over the line.
So are we even close to any perp walks by whether it be by rogue by rogue judges?
I don't know.
Anybody.
We've got something's got to give here, because he's getting way too much pushback against the mandate by the people. You know, Trump is experiencing way too much pushback, and these people saying it, and that Raskin guy, that guy's bananas. He says that we need to go down back to South America and get those people and bring them back to the United States.
Yeah,
that guy is just. He belongs. He needs to be evaluated. Raskin. Something wrong. There's something wrong with the guy.
Well, today we just saw a judge demand the return of gang members. Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't some lunatic leftist piece of crap, blue-haired, ring through the nose, tattooed... leftist nanny judge.
I don't know, but I don't understand why Johnson canceled this week, in Congress. They need to get off their asses and do something. Something needs to be done here.
Okay, let's talk about a comment in the chat. And hang on a second here. You're like, I have to lean here. Smart 2021. Nothing is going to happen once it gets, Once it gets warmer, expect more leftist violence. Your thoughts. You think that's in play?
Yeah. I told you before, we're probably going to have to meet him in the street, Doug.
I've got no problem with that. I've got no problem.
We can't have our cities burning down again. We cannot let the leftist scum in this country wreak havoc and hell and scare people and murder people. We can't allow it. We cannot allow it.
You know, we're seeing an uptick in racial violence. Of course, we thought that was the left, you know, believed that was put to bed with Obama, right? The racial violence. Did I say that or left? Anyway, racial violence. We saw a stabbing of a 17-year-old at a track meet by a black kid. You know, if that was reversed, where a white kid would have stabbed a black kid at a track meet, you damn well know. You better know that would be running 24/7 on these puke station legacy media stations every day, all day, and really ginning up the masses. And I'll tell you something: I'm sick and tired of this bullshit, and I'm sick and tired of the. But by the way, now maybe I misunderstood this, and if I did, I'm sorry. But I think the dad of the victim came out and said, "Well, you know, I'm tired of this being used as a racial thing." What the hell are you talking about? If that's what he said,
he said, "Don't be hard on the kid."
Okay, if I was that kid's father, but believe me, you can ask everyone who knows me, I will chase to the gates of hell, to the gates of hell, and believe me, I have.
Yep. No, I couldn't believe, I can't believe what I'm seeing and hearing. I try and write it off that it was in California and those people are all screwed up out there. They don't think rationally out there. It's crazy. It's crazy. The left is so far left out there. They're in the ocean.
That'd be a better place for them.
Yeah. It's not stuck.
You know, look, but see, the left is really garnering for a takeover. You know, folks, President Trump, Trump 2.0 is different than Trump went his first term. But the left is also different. Yep. They realize, look, we can't impeach the hell out of them, although that's coming.
They're going to try.
We can't throw a Russian in his face, but they're going to still try with that. But they're adding new features to this. So that shadow government thing that we showed you.
And they're terrified. What's really screwed them up with the globalists is that Putin and Trump are talking.
Right. Now, Putin has laid down guidelines for President Trump, as well as Zelensky. Zelensky's given us the finger, and Putin has just given us kind of like the, you know, the puffed out chest. So, okay, you know, but Trump can navigate that.
Well, yeah, but they're talking. That's the point. They didn't even want them talking in the first term. That's right. Why, yeah.
Well,
they were blown out of proportion because he was talking to Putin and his cabinet was talking to Putin before he even took office. Well, I never had a problem with that.
No, once you're president-elect, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, you should be about as upset about that as you are about Obama flying around the world when he's not the president and talking to everybody.
There you go.
You know, and I wonder where he plays out in this whole globalist thing. You know,
well,
he's in there. Up to his eyeballs, you know, and it costs you to shove his life.
You know, it's interesting because I picked up, I think this book was from, let me double check here. Hang on, I'll show you the book. It's rather an interesting analysis. So this is written in 2009. You know, Dr. John Coleman, everybody, right? Obama's America. It's really a thin read, but I picked this, or I've had this probably since it came out, I think. And it's interesting because he puts, you know, the Rockefellers, the Zbigniew Brzezinski, the Soros with Obama and behind Obama, and really lays out a good case of the fact that this guy, number one, we don't even know who the hell he is with any definite evidence. And number two, we do know, however, he's a Marxist and a communist at the very least. So.
Oh yeah, we know he hates America.
Yeah,
absolutely. And, yeah. No ifs, ands, or buts. He's another one that needs to be dealt with.
I want to show everyone.
I have a list of people that need to be dealt with.
Care to share? Share to care?
Right. Stuff never happened to him. I don't want him coming back at us.
No, that's, well, that's true.
Shit happens to bad people.
Well, you know, it's interesting how certain people end up dead.
Things happen. Sometimes a good lawyer gets involved.
But, you know, it's happening mostly on our side, where you have these weird, strange deaths of people that have information and bang, you know, they're gone.
Yep.
But getting back to the shadow government, if it cuts 2 and 3, you can play back to back. Eric,
Doug, I don't even know how legally you can speak like that in a legislative house. What is gone wrong?
I was thinking about that. Now, I don't know. Okay. It's not as if they're saying to replace them, but I think you have to go back to the 1860s to really get an appreciation of what they're trying to do here.
Well, and what they're trying to say is, in Canada, the term, and this is their way out. In Canada, the term is shadow ministers.
Right, right.
I've heard that. Of the opposition. That's their way out. Know it.
Uh-huh.
That's what they, if they were picked up for it, that's exactly what they would say. Well, we were just saying, you know, a parallel go, the opposition, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I got opposition for you.
Well,
see if you can make it to your house.
And see, this is coming. But so we showed you that clip from a couple, it was probably right after the election or right after the inauguration or sometime in that time period. But now, today, yesterday or today, now watch this. Ken Martin, chair of DNC.
And one more thing. What if those were Republicans talking like that about Biden or Obama?
Oh,
are you kidding me?
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying. What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
It ain't happening. I mean, it wouldn't
happen.
That's
what I'm saying. We're held, the right, we're held to a standard that the left just stomps all over.
Well, and the other thing, too, you've got Speaker Johnson. Okay, hey, you gonna do anything, or are you just going to sit there like a, you know?
He needs to get off his ass. And this, I'd like to see more out of this this Congressman Mike Kelly.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, I mean, he says, well, I can't get this, and I can't get that. But he has not issued or asked to have issued a single congressional subpoena.
No, of course. No, no, you know.
But he can't get those things.
Kelly's from my state. He's my rep. He's my rep, and he's.
Was I going to say that to you?
he's good for helping. You know, if you got a tax problem, or you know, if you've got some other problem, but he's useless basically when it comes to the big issues.
And they say this investigation's just gone dead in his office. It died in his office somewhere.
The investigation of Butler.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's part of it. And you know, Shapiro. Look. People, I've gotten emails about Shapiro, Governor Shapiro of Pennsylvania. Okay, and the Biden meeting with Shapiro. Not that. Okay, I'm just going to say not that. Not that.
You have to have more than that.
Yeah, well, that isn't even that. That's not even a thing. Okay, I mean, even if it was a thing, it's not the thing. You're looking in the wrong place, asking the wrong question. So those
they wouldn't be seen or heard talking to each other.
Correct. There you go.
Be advised. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not. Those people are saying, well, you know, Biden met with Shapiro, or Shapiro met with Biden, and they were talking, you know, plotting and scheming. And no, and hell no.
Look, and this is where the right and conspiracy theorists say we take a beating on this.
Well,
when people
right.
come up with stuff like that, please, people, think it through.
And does it mean it's untrue? Well,
highly unlikely, sir, if I may say that.
And especially that way, okay?
Yeah.
Now, Shapiro's name has come up a couple of times, but That's more after the fact than before the fact. Just saying.
I could see that he probably wanted this to go away. And we know that things like that can be said, but I don't think that I would go as far as to say he was involved in it from the get-go.
No. But there are certainly messages. Just folks, just think about after the fact, not before the fact. And Biden is a vegetable. Okay. Was a vegetable. No one's going to trust Biden with anything. So just, you know, okay. But I do want to play these two clips.
That wouldn't be the guy to go tell your secret to.
Well, no. All right. 35 and 20.
He would have walked down in front of the camera and said something like, the guy's ready in Butler.
And we have the largest, most effective voter fraud group.
Lord.
So. All right, here's Ken Martin. This is cut two, followed by Tim Walz, cut three. Both, in my view, treasonous bastards, but here they are.
Hey, it's Ken Martin. I want to tell you about the People's Cabinet that the DNC is launching today. I have been traveling across the country nonstop since I started this job, and what I hear over and over is this. Americans want us to fight back against Trump's lies and offer a better alternative. Trump has stacked his cabinet with out-of-touch billionaires who are causing chaos and hurting working people. That's why we are launching the People's Cabinet. It will be made up of experts, leaders, and everyday Americans who will share reliable and accurate information that you can use to fight back. Stay tuned for more.
So that's cut one of alternative reality. Cut two is coming right up. Tim Walz, 22 or 23 seconds worth. Here's cut three.
We see one of the first things they do is try and restrict the vote. This is one of the things, though, that this is going to take power to the streets. And look, I don't know what the answer is on this, but I've been saying this. I think we need a shadow government so when all these things come up every single day, we've got an alternate press conference telling the truth about what things are happening. Still going out.
Okay.
Let's not hide it. Just throw it out there, buddy.
That's your buddy.
Yeah.
So what do you think the biggest problem facing President Trump is today domestically? I mean, from what you've seen, Randy Taylor, what's the biggest trouble?
I think being undermined by the judges.
There you go.
Is huge. Okay.
Yep.
He's handling it better than if it was me, put it that way.
You know,
because you know me, I don't think clearly all the time.
nor do I.
they'd lock us in the Oval Office and not let us out.
No, I don't think we'd get the Oval. I think we'd get the square.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. But you know what? This stuff that's been going on, he's having a problem with vetting.
Well, we've got something about that.
People are already turning. And remember, you and I talked this numerous times off the air about if we were in charge of that, you know, because what's kind of weird is that Loomer, he's, you know, listening to Laura Loomer and vetting, you know, firing people or vetting people or whatever.
Oh, yeah. But she's got the goods.
She does have the goods.
She has the goods.
Also, I also remember right after the election, she was right on that border point of turning on the guy.
Well, she wasn't taking any crap. Okay. I think she felt
left out.
She did.
And that's what was stimulating some of those conversations I was reading.
Well, she got a raw deal, she didn't get a fair shake with certain conservatives. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I mean, I know some behind the scenes stuff and there's some things that not good that happened to her that should never have happened. And she had some good information that was ignored or thrown into the circular file.
Oh yeah, and if she had good information, that should be looked at.
Yeah. Well, since you brought that, okay, first of all, you mentioned the judges. I have cut four here, and we can talk about this. I've got Laura Loomer's information and the NSC terminations as well, but so we, in the meantime, we can talk about this. This is a two-minute video clip, just over 2 minutes, or just under 2.5 minutes. This is about the current judges who are fighting President Trump. They're getting exposed for their radical bias. But it's deeper than that. Folks, it's much deeper than that. There are judges who are driven by their ideology and compromised and facilitating by way of their associations and by way of their ties with NGOs, the fight against President Trump. But watch this. This is cut four, and then RT, you and I, or you can discuss this afterwards. But here's cut four, just under 2.5 minutes.
So let's take a look at some of these Democratic-appointed federal judges who are playing whack-a-mole with Trump's agenda. Let's start with Judge James Boasberg. What a guy. Picked by Obama back in 2016. He served on the FISA court, where he approved four applications related to the Russia collusion hoax. He's the guy that signed off on all of that. And then later, when the former FBI attorney, Kevin Kleinsmith, pleaded guilty to lying to him on one of the FISA applications, a violation that carries up to 5 years in prison, Judge Boasberg was like, yeah, I'm sure he didn't mean it. No prison time. Oh, okay, I think I'm starting to see who you are. Let me see if I can clarify and zoom in a little bit more. Next, we have Anna Reyes. She's another D.C. District Court judge. She was also appointed by Joe Biden. She's the judge that halted Trump's ban on transgender troops in the military. In 2020, she also volunteered her legal services to Biden's campaign. Since 2008, she donated over $38,000 to Democrats, including maxing out on the contributions to Biden in 2020. I wonder how she got her job. And then she's also been associated with a buffet of left-wing activist groups, pro-abortion, pro-illegal immigration, pro-DEI, you name it, that's her. Then there's the U.S. District Court Judge Theodore Chang, another Obama appointee. Now, he's the one trying to reverse Trump's shutdown of USAID, which folks are just so passionate about, right? He also has a long history of donating to the Democratic Party candidates and causes, including Obama and John Kerry presidential campaigns. Okay, but back in 2017, he was the first judge to block Donald Trump's travel ban on several Muslim-majority countries. He said that was just horrific. In 2020, he also issued the injunction against Trump and the administration's FDA rule that abortion drugs have to be picked up in person, can't be received by mail. That's just outrageous and unconstitutional. Where?
Yeah. So Glenn outlines a few. There's more now of these judges. So what the hell are we doing about it?
And with Boasberg, his daughter and the organization that she works for, the Partners in Justice or whatever it is, he should recuse himself. He has no business making a ruling on that. None.
You know, none. Boasberg, how he was able to get all of the anti-Trump cases in the D.C. Circuit Court is just an absolute statistical impossibility.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. That's corruption in the clerk's office.
And Johnson has ability to assemble Congress and to blitz the entire circuit court in D.C. or anywhere on the planet.
And why is he not doing it? That's my question. That's my question.
And that's a great question. You know, as Speaker, he should be able to say, look, none of this is right. You're legislating from the bench. You're actually tying the president's hands. And, you know, next you're going to want to control the Pentagon. Oh, wait. huh, that's already happened. But okay. Yeah. Yeah. So
unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is.
I've okay. never heard of this happening to a president before.
Well, it happened before under Andrew Jackson. I recall I don't specifically recall the case, but Andrew Jackson, that's his famous quote. Well, you made your ruling, now come and enforce it. You know, I mean, that to me, and when did court rulings go beyond the litigants, mm-hmm. you know, become a nationwide mandate?
I'd like to hear Trump say that.
Yeah.
The Patriots are behind him. That's plain and simple. The people who put him in office are behind him. Don't believe for a second, but the left in their little rallies where there's, you know, 110 people, and they're claiming that it's just, you know, Americans are tired of Trump.
Yep.
It's crap. They're tired of things not happening fast enough.
That's, yeah. Now, yeah, I really like Julie Kelly with respect to her coverage.
Yes.
Okay. We have
out of all the links you play, she's one of my favorites.
Okay. So here's what I'd like to do now. If folks, if you want to pay attention to this, and this, the total length, actually, I could have put two in here of equal length. That would probably, it would take it up 25% of the show. Okay. Easy day for us, right? But here's a 12 in total. It's 12 minutes, but I don't want to play the entire 12 minutes. RT, at some point, or myself, when you say, wait a second, let's pause it and discuss this. Give a shout out, because I think there are several points that are not quite glossed over, but need additional depth of research, or depth of discussion, I should say. Because don't forget, look, these productions, whether it's Bannon or Beck or whoever, they're productions. They're not conversations. They're not us. Okay. So would you do that? Yell out and say, just pause out for
absolutely.
A minute?
Absolutely.
Okay. So folks, this is, where is it? This is cut, or I'm sorry. This is not, is this Julie Kelly? No, this is not Julie Kelly. Wait a second. Hang on a second. What am I doing? This is Mike Davis. Mike Davis is, man, he's a powerhouse too. I guess I chose Davis over Kelly for some reason. I don't know why. Oh, because this is about the SCOTUS ruling today, which addresses what we've been talking about the judicial coup that's taking place, the judicial insurrection, which he discusses. Same rules apply, though. RT, pause when you want it. This is cut four or cut five.
Is that any real difference of what's going on here? This has gone from a judicial insurrection to a judicial coup. Am I too far off base on that, sir?
No, you're not at all. I mean, look what they tried to do with President Trump before. They ran Crossfire Hurricane against him 8 years ago, the Russian collusion hoax. They impeached him twice. They indicted him four times for non-crimes after he left office. They tried to bankrupt him for non-fraud. They tried to illegally, unconstitutionally take him off the ballots. They tried to take off his head when they underfunded his Secret Service protection and Biden said to put a bullseye on him. Now that President Trump's back in the White House and he has the House and won a comfortable margin in the Senate, you have these activist judges, these judicial saboteurs who are trying to destroy the presidency because they have a political and policy disagreement with who the American people elected. Fortunately, we just got a major win in the Supreme Court of the United States this afternoon, a 5-4 decision where Justice Amy Coney Barrett finally got her head out of her ass, and she joins four of the conservatives and slap down one of these activist judges. You had this new Biden activist judge, a federal judge in Boston, who said that President Trump couldn't cancel $250 million in bogus DEI teacher training grants. And so the Supreme Court correctly held, as we've been talking on this show for over a month, that if you have a grant canceled, your recourse is to file a lawsuit in the Court of Federal Claims. It's not to go to an activist judge and get a temporary restraining order that's not temporary at all. The Supreme Court held that these fake TROs by these activist judges are not TROs. They're actually preliminary injunctions, and that means that they're immediately appealable, and that okay. means that we're fine.
Pause that. Pause
and,
that.
And that's just to grants, right? That just applies to grants being canceled. No,
okay. That ruling applied to grants, but the time is it, so what Davis, it's my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, what Davis is saying is a TRO or a temporary restraining order, when stretched beyond its legal framework, becomes a temporary or a permanent injunction.
So TROs in general.
We'd have to rewind that to
yeah, because it sounded sounded like he was kind of staying on the subject of the grants being defunded, canceled. I would be interested in where that applies as far as TROs in general, because that's the problem we have.
100%. You cannot. What Boasberg did with his TRO, it was like March whatever, and then March something, and then April, it becomes an injunction, mm-hmm. which is a totally different. It requires different statutory.
That should go in front of the Supreme Court, because I think just the fact that his daughter is in defiance of President Trump just by virtue of where she works.
Oh yeah.
That should be slapped down immediately.
And whose wife was connected to the group Indivisible, which was connected to some of the left-wing violence? I
don't remember.
I think that was a Laura Loomer tidbit that came out. I'm not certain. But, okay, about the maybe the answer will come. I watched this clip, but it's been couple of hours now.
Okay. See what's in there. We'll see what's in there.
Maybe he'll clarify that. But I think you might be right, though. I think that particular decision only applies to the grants. Okay. Well, continue.
Starting to fight back and win against this Democrat lawfare.
Hang on, because I want to ask, of everything that's going on, of all the 100 lawsuits, and now they're suing on tariffs, of all the 100 lawsuits against Trump, how this one got to Supreme Court so quickly. But take a second and explain to people, because I'll be honest, I didn't know this until I got to D.C. and I started learning about the administrative state. I was a typical conservative that bitched and moaned about the bureaucracy for years, but didn't really understand the mechanism of how vast the apparatus is of the administrative state. Talk about what claims court is and how big that is and why this should have gone there. What is the claims court? How big is it? And why is that a venue for people to take this instead of running to federal court to try to stop the president's activity?
So generally, the government has sovereign immunity, meaning you can't sue the government unless the government gives you permission to sue the government through a statute. So we have the Jones Act and the Court of Federal Claims that was set up. If you have a contract claim, if you do business for the government, you're a contractor of the government, and the government does not pay you for your work, you can't just go to a district court and bring a breach of contract claim. You have to go to the Court of Federal Claims, which is a specialty court in Washington, D.C., and you have to bring contract claims there. And if you don't bring contract claims there, you generally don't get your money. These other courts do not have jurisdiction. And when you have President Trump canceling these bogus contracts like DEI contracts or USAID funding contracts, the recourse is go to Court of Federal Claims. Well, these activists have been running to their activist judges and getting these supposed temporary restraining orders that aren't temporary at all to get the government. Like, for example, we had Judge Ali in D.C. just over a month ago, who ordered the president to send out $2 billion in foreign aid over the president's national security review. He did not have jurisdiction to do that. And it's just insane that the Supreme Court allowed that to happen. And I think that Justice Amy Coney Barrett has learned her lesson, and she saw that her stupid ruling from before on that Judge Ali USAID case, where the president can't do a national security review, it caused all these
because this is what confused me. Because correct me if I'm wrong, the claim there, the $2.5 billion, is for contracts. Remember, folks, who told you it's about 2.5 million. Bureaucrats or people actually working in the government.
Okay,
government employees,
pause that for a second. Thank you, Eric. I appreciate that. So, RT, a lot of information packed in there. If you've got a claim against the government, and that could be, as Mike Davis was telling Steve Bannon, money that was promised through USAID and such, you would have to take it to the claims court in D.C., but yet these activists are taking it through their judge shopping and getting the leftist judges to do the bidding for them as opposed to the proper venue.
Right, they're bypassing the normal way of doing things.
Okay.
Which makes these judges even further out the lodge.
Right, because they have no business even hearing the case.
Right, that's right. Okay. They walk in the car and the judge should say, I'm sorry, this has nothing to do with me, get out of here.
Right. So now the interesting thing about this today, this Supreme Court ruling, was that Roberts sided with the leftists, which really, I mean, it should surprise no one. But as a 5-4 rule.
He really hasn't been the turd in the apple basket. Roberts says.
Yeah. So, wow. So there's like a lot wrong with everything, with all of these cases. This being one that is a win, in quotation marks, for President Trump. Mm-hmm. With Roberts saying, you know, no, I'm going to side with the communists, you know, basically. And Amy Coney Barrett saying, yeah, you know, I'll rule correctly this time. So it's a 5-4 flip.
Yeah, that sends a message to President Trump on future stuff.
Maybe. Well, in this case, I guess it would be.
It would to me.
Right? In terms of the grants and such.
Let's stretch it.
Man. Folks in the chat, you get all that? I mean, holy crud.
It's an earful. That's a lot.
Wow. Okay.
I just, from the very first time a judge ran his yap at the president over these people they shipped El Salvador or whatever, it just reeked to me of being wrong.
Yeah.
That the judge was wrong. And well, Trump stood his ground. And what are you going to do to him, really? What are you going to do to President Trump? Arrest him? What are you going to do?
They're setting up that contempt trap for the Department of Justice. And that was their intent right from the beginning. But this Boasberg should be drawn and quartered. I mean, legally drawn and quartered through the legal process because of just
out of bounds.
Oh, man. So far out of bounds. Yep. And with what has been uncovered with the conflicts that Boasberg has. But
I don't know how any judge could anybody even pay attention to him after knowing who his daughter is.
Oh,
I just for the life of me, you would think that somebody would, even on the left, that they'd say, wait a minute. But they won't. Absolutely won't. They hate Trump that much.
So, okay.
I say the whole.
Come and enforce it, you idiots, you know. So Okay, just so people know, today's Supreme Court 5-4 ruling grants, in quotation mark, the Trump administration's emergency request to stay at Massachusetts court order requiring to reinstate $250 million in Department of Education teacher training grants to 8 states. Okay, that's what that was all about, but it was about a grant. Mm-hmm. But okay, I guess the word grants was used. Interestingly,
President Trump is doing exactly what we asked him to do.
Exactly, you're 100% right. But then you have this I don't even know how to describe it. It's for those playing at home and have the ability to mess with the. Where'd it go? What the heck? Well, that's interesting. Hang on one second here. I lost it. I refreshed a web page and their website and it's gone. Okay. help me. Oh, here it is. Gone down about 15 stories. Obama judge orders Trump administration to return alleged MS-13 gang members to the U.S. after he was deported to El Salvador's notorious CECOT prison. And that was Judge Paula Zinnis, Xinis, whatever.
And I just don't understand any judge that would request that a terrorist be brought back to the United States. These people are terrorists. These people are the most violent garbage in the world. They used to execute them when they were sent home. They would be executed on the tarmac.
Cry me a river for that. I got no problem with that.
That just tells you the depravity of these individuals.
Yeah.
And they've been in our country illegally and breaking the law and killing people. People don't realize you don't hear about every murder. You don't hear about every stabbing. You don't hear about every rape. There's these things go on with this garbage and nobody knows anything about it.
No.
And these people have to be physically removed from the United States to protect the U.S. citizens.
Well, okay. Now, Carolyn Leavitt took to the press box, I guess it was today, to answer this judge. The judge, again, this liberal activist judge, says, you got to bring this MS-13 gang member back, because really, we don't even know if he's an MS-13 gang member. We don't know that.
His tattoos didn't tell.
What's that?
His tattoos didn't tell the story.
No, well, hey, tattoos, you know, free expression of artistic body or body art, you know what? I never understood. Anyway, Carolyn Leavitt said, number one, the individual was in fact a member of the vicious MS-13 gang. And also, President Trump designated MS-13 as a foreign terrorist organization. You dumb
bitch.
Thank you. Fact number two, he was proved to be involved in human trafficking. Apparently, these judges like that. And number three, and by the way, foreign terrorists don't have legal protections in the U.S. What was that Saturday Night Live? Remember the Saturday Night Live skit, Jane, you ignorant slut? Okay. Folks, don't yell at me. That was on SNL back in 75, 76, or 77, 78, something like that. Who was that? Dan Aykroyd?
Yeah. That would have been Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah. All right. Whatever. But again.
You're straight up. Are you going to live in a van down by the river?
But that was
Chris Farley.
That was one of my favorite scenes. I mean, you know, it got, I'll tell you what, SNL had, Saturday Night Live, in my view, had like one, maybe two good years. The first two were good. And then
when they poked fun at everybody, I was cool with them. You know, they would hand everybody their butt in Washington. It didn't matter. But then they just got too far leftist.
Well, yeah. And you know, look, stuff like, you know, it's a floor polish, it's a dessert topping or whatever. Okay. It's funny. But now it's
with these. Do you remember the guy for the hearing impaired that would sit down in the corner of your scream and he would yell?
Yeah.
I love that.
I think that might have been in the 80s.
God, was that funny. He'd sit down there and just scream. For the hearing impaired.
For the hearing impaired. Hell of signing. Okay. And some of these signers, man, I got to tell you, since this is Friday, why not, right? I mean, do some of these signers take their job too seriously, or they get too excited, or, you know, holy moly, have you seen them?
I think sometimes words are thrown at them that they don't know what to do.
I'm waiting for one just to flip us all off and walk out, you know. And then you have the fake signers. You can't beat that, you know, whoever vets those. Well, what's he saying? You know, I don't know. It's gibberish. Jeez.
Oh, those are the days.
You know, so speaking of body movements, one of the things, this is, we're kind of all over a little bit, but I thought this is important. I don't know how many people saw this. An interview.
It's Friday night, Doug. We're allowed to be all over the place.
Why not, right?
Right.
And some good stuff, some not so good stuff. But anyway, there was an interview being done, and out of the blue, man, this girl, the interviewee, just started whooping on the interviewer, both females. Right? And did you folks see that in the chat? Did you see that? It's on social media. It's everywhere. But the part I like about this, well, you're going to see it within this clip. The part I like about this, you and I and Randy and Eric, when our families, we all have to learn body language as a defensive tactic against potential threats. Me, I like to watch the hands and the chest. Okay, that's just.
You're talking about when we're talking to our wives or what?
Well, that too. Depends. I'm not going to tell that story because, man.
Let it go.
No, I can't do that. Yeah.
It'll be a long weekend.
Yeah. I was riding with my wife today and as a passenger, and it's like, you know.
Oh, go ahead. Now you got us interested. Come on.
Well, for crying out loud. Okay. You get in the vehicle. Okay, what do you have to do? You have to do like, oh, I can't find my phone. Well, who cares? You're not going to be talking anyway. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to just drive. I'll drive. Yeah. Just drive. No, you can't. Yeah, I don't want you to drive.
Yeah. Get it out of my purse.
Where's my purse? Who cares?
Exactly. Well, at least we know it's uniform there as well as my house and vehicle.
Oh, man. 15 minutes later, you know, we're back. Oh, my gosh. Another sigh for Saturday or for Friday.
Some things never change, buddy.
Oh, my goodness. So when you see your significant other, your spouse, you know, ramping up like this, be aware. Here's cut eight. This is body language, and you can see the rage in people's faces. But folks, this is like our public service announcement to you folks. Grant Snitchfield has this body language expert on all the time, Greg Hartley. This is an analysis of a clip of a woman punching a journalist on the street. You've probably seen it. This is good. Yep. Good stuff. This is cut eight. It's just under 2 minutes. Here it is.
All right, so we pulled some randoms today, all right? And I actually like these, so not that I don't like them the other times, but this is interesting. You know me, and I know, like you, I'm a big personal protection guy. How do you keep yourself safe, all right? So I want people to watch this, and you'll know why I tee it up that way.
It's very obstructed, and I think that you just don't understand the magnitude of having a child.
Yeah, well, I'm not the one who admitted they would be okay with killing babies in foster care and killing children that have been abused.
That's not the point. What I'm saying.
That's really.
Oh, my Lord. Greg, how do you see that coming? You know, I'm looking at it. What do you make of this?
Well, watch. First of all, look at her fingers. Look at her hands. Watch her hands start to close as she starts to get angry. And then she goes for the punch. But before that, you can see a lot of stuff going on. When your fight or flight hits you, your brain starts to turn off and it starts shunting blood to muscles. And what happens, you'll see rage in people's face sometimes. And you do here. Watch her brow down, her eyes wide, her lower teeth exposed, her chin jutted forward. All of that is anger. That's anger or rage as she gets ready. And my best tell for pre-violence, if it gets to that point, because a lot of people do that, but scream and yell. Watch your shoulder. You can't do anything without moving a shoulder. Even if you're a kicker, you have to raise your foot and it moves your shoulder. So pay attention to their dominant hand, and that's a good indicator for you if you get in this situation.
That's interesting. Now, you got to be on your feet and thinking that this could happen at any moment, right? Because you get lulled into this. But that shoulder move you're talking about, is it the quick move back as she cocks it? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, you can see it in her for sure. She draws it back. But to do any kind of movement, you're going to have to move your shoulder. Even if you're going to kick someone, you have to pick your foot up and your whole shoulder, your whole body moves. Mm-hmm. So if you can pay attention to shoulders when somebody is in that pre-violence, you can tell whether there's going to be an action or not. There's a whole lot of movements that are going on here. I could run down a list, but yeah.
The midsection.
So
we were always taught, watch the midsection because you can't do anything without, and that woman had a big midsection, like the size of a sign you'd see on the side of the road with a lawyer's name on it. Okay. And I'll tell you right now, if she had smacked me, I'd have punched her right in the face. Big horse.
You know, something.
And don't say, we shouldn't hit women. That ain't a woman.
I don't know what the hell that was, but
that'd be like smacking a heifer. And it was totally uncalled for. Absolutely uncalled for. That's the crazy left. These people are nuts.
You know, you mentioned a heifer. Okay. You know, look.
Good eyes.
No, I love it. But well, I got
you need to punch orca.
Anyway, it just reminds me of the time when you said heifer. I'm thinking cow. Okay, so maybe somebody in the chat or maybe a farmer watching this will know. With surveillance, keep me on the streets, on pavement. I'm okay. All right, I'm generally okay. You get me out in the woods, out in farm country, I get a little bit off.
Like I remember doing this. Uneasy?
No, I guess I just, you know, I'm out of my element, okay?
Yeah, makes sense. Oh, you're talking to dog or me? I've been eaten alive by mosquitoes.
Oh, yeah. yes. You're talking about with Russ's group, right? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you guys went up there to see if the mosquito repellent for the team the following week was going to work okay?
Oh, wow. Yes.
Don't use military. We were mosquito lotion. It attracts them.
I got to tell you, we were in the swampy area of northwest Pennsylvania working on a case that's still active, actually, on a SRA case. Eric, the tech, looked like he had some sort of, I don't know, maybe leprosy. I'm not sure. I know I felt that way too, but I mean, we're just
leprosy,
covered.
AIDS, something.
Oh, with calamine or?
No, I mean, these mosquitoes probably were, I don't know. I didn't, they must have been like, you know, these blood sucking monsters the size of VWs that came in and just like, you know, but we were like bumps everywhere. Yeah. And
what bugs me is when you can hear them. That's what bugs me, when you can hear them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But what I was saying though was, and again, if you have any farmers out there in the chat or, you know, let me know, but I had to walk along a, in one surveillance, this is back 25 years ago. I was at a farm in New York State near the Hudson Valley. Okay. So, and this farm had all of these cows. So I was walking this fence line that held the cows in, you know what I mean? I mean, I guess that. And one cow saw me and came over to me.
Did that cow object to you being there?
I don't know. He didn't tell me, or she did. It wasn't talking.
What's up, and, sexy?
And then pretty soon, two, and then four, and then the whole flipping herd was over. It's like, hey, I'm trying to be inconspicuous here. Leave me alone.
Doug the shepherd.
And then here comes, you know, the farmer, you know, with a friggin' shotgun. I'm thinking, oh man, this is not good.
thank goodness they weren't in a fighting mood.
So what's up with that? Yeah. I mean, I want to know. Are cows, like, attracted to guys or?
No. It just depends. Now, if a bull had come after you.
Well, believe me.
I've had that. I've been run out of a pasture before by bulls. Yeah.
No.
Because I went inside the fence and decided to go and sit there and make noises like I was a cow or something. And I really got a bull upset in Florida with me. Really upset. He tried to gore me, man. I couldn't get over the fence fast enough. Because it was just in a split second. He was facing the other way. All of a sudden, his front legs went like boom, and he kicked off. And it was headed right at me. I almost crapped my pants. I'm telling you. I'm not a rodeo clown. I ain't a cowboy. No. I'll ride a horse. That's about it.
What, did the fence stop him or whatever?
Oh, yeah. Barbed wire. Barbed wire fence.
Well, okay. Wow. No, that wouldn't be for me. No.
It really scared me. Seriously. It was right at dusk. It was scary. And I don't even really know why I thought that I was, you know, who's the doctor that could talk to animals? You know, I thought I would go in and talk to the
Dr. cat. Seuss? I don't know. Dr.
I can't think of his name.
Talk to the animals?
Yeah. There's a name of a... Eddie Murphy played him. Doolittle. Dr. Doolittle.
Doolittle.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, too, since I'm... I'll share this other story. And I told this, like, when I filled in for Steve on one of the shows. I was in the Adirondacks by myself, okay? And it was like my... I don't know, 36th birthday or something like that. Anyway. No, that was a different day. Okay. So anyway, I'm up in the Adirondacks, and I mean, in the middle of flipping nowhere, really. So I had to stash my vehicle and walk through this wooded area to this, if you want to call it a trailer, I guess it would be a trailer, the closest thing you can come up to it. And there was a creek, and then there was a hill, and then on top of this small hill was a trailer. And inside the trailer was a convicted child rapist. Okay, now that's not why I was there. I was there for some other reason. So I'm walking through the woods, you know, and now I have the trailer in sight and I hear this rooster crowing. I'm like, what the hell? You know, like I really need a rooster crowing. I'm trying to be inconspicuous. So I get a little further and it's like going nuts. And then I see the guy come out. Now I'm holding a cell phone. At the time, the cell phones were the size of, you know, bricks. And I had some other equipment on me. But I remember the cell phone. And I remember crossing this shallow creek, starting up the hill. The guy comes out. And the rooster, of course, is apparently talking to him, telling him where I am at. I don't know. They must have a thing going. And I saw something shiny on the leg of this rooster. And you could follow it up. And the rooster was tied to the trailer. And on the other leg was a spur. And I'm thinking, huh? So he comes out. He unhooks the leash of the rooster. And I ain't never seen an attack rooster before. I didn't know those puppies attacked anything.
Oh, cockfighter.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it was.
Yep.
And I'm so like I'm frozen. I'm watching this rooster gain on me. I'm frozen right at the edge of this creek. And this puppy is moving. And I'm thinking, oh man. And so I'm watching the guy to make sure he's, you know, not going to like shoot me and leave me for, because they'd never find me.
He had seen you by now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And so did the rooster. And the rooster, for some reason, was really pissed off.
That's his job.
So I go to turn. I drop my cell phone. By that time, the rooster is like right there. It's like, oh, wow. And it's not a small little cute thing. You know, it's a goat. So, I mean, and it's mean. And it's got stuff
razor poking out of it. And razor blades on its legs. Yes.
Well, yeah, I found that out. So I dropped my cell phone into the creek. Bad thing for cell phones. So I'm reaching for the cell phone, and as soon as I reach for it, the rooster reaches for it and pecks at it, and pecks at my hand. I'm like, get out of here, you know? So we're kind of fighting, you know? I'd reach for it, and he bam, I'd go for it, and he, you know.
So I didn't shoot the rooster.
Oh, man. Well, and this is New York. I couldn't carry up there, but. You know, so I'm like kind of, you know, kicking at the rooster, and the rooster's pecking my leg, and my jeans were ripped. Oh my gosh, we had a. What's that?
It's better than a bull coming after you.
Which, but still,
the rooster is so unpredictable, and you have no idea how to defend against it. The bull, you know, to run. Rooster, you're not sure really what to do.
Well, I didn't.
You wouldn't know what to do.
I mean,
this is why you should just ride a horse.
There you go. Yeah. I'm with Eric.
it was.
Everybody says, save a horse, ride a cowboy. Well,
giddy up. Yeah. So anyway, that was my. That was my fun. So between cows and roosters and your bull, there we go.
There you go.
All right. So, folks, sorry about the little diversion, but it's Friday.
It's Friday. You got to tell these stories. That's people right. Don't get to hear this stuff, you know?
No. Oh, and, there's a few more. There's so many more. So many more.
Randy.
Yes, sir.
Christopher in chat said, come on, Randy, cowboy up.
Cowboy up.
Cowboy up.
I think he wants you to ride that bull.
Oh, no way, man. No way. No. And I've been to many a bull riding event. I was there in Kissimmee, Florida before when they were having their, that's huge bull riding country down there. And, man, I watched those guys get in there with those bulls, and that bull bucks them and then turns around and comes after them. I'll tell you what, I got a lot of respect for the rodeo clowns.
Okay, but let me ask you, have you ever wrestled a bear?
No, sir. No, okay. It's not on my bucket list either.
Have you guys ever ridden a horse?
Oh, yeah, many times.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've ridden horses in other countries, yeah.
My little
not just in the U.S. The worst stubborn horse I had was a horse in Mexico that as soon as I got on the horse refused to move. And I'm with like 30 people in a tourist thing. And I'm holding everybody up because this horse just refused. They had to go get me another horse. This horse wouldn't move. You had nothing to do with me. It didn't matter how hard I tried to get him to go. I'm a decent horseback rider. This guy would have nothing to do with me. And he was to the point I thought he was going to start bucking. I was like, I told the guy there at the ranch, and I said, you got to get me another horse, man. This isn't working out.
I got me a lemon.
Yeah, I got a little concerned when the horse was being that obstinate. I was like, it's probably best to get off this damn horse.
Everybody says, save a horse, ride a cowboy.
Absolutely.
Rehoboth Farms asks, but has a horse ever ridden you?
No. Okay. I have had the most fun I had riding a horse was in the Dakotas. I think it was South Dakota. And I, North Dakota or South Dakota, whichever one has mountains in it. Okay. And I ended up having a great time on a horse. We were gone half a day and right up the sides of the mountains and everything. The horse was beautiful. We had a lot of fun. I had the most fun I ever had horseback riding.
That's first time nice, I rode a horse was actually in an arena, and this thing stinking took off. It's crazy when you get up on those big horses, you're like, wow, like I'm 10 feet in the air right now. It's crazy.
How old were you?
Early 20s.
But then, and when you look at what really gets you and where the respect I have for the animals, I look how big they are. Like you were just saying, they're huge. You get on a big male stallion, that's a big horse.
And they're fast. I mean, that's where horsepower comes from.
I had one. My daughter was horseback riding, and I remember going into the barn ahead. I thought, well, I'll be smart and I'll take a couple of carrots. Little baby carrots with me. So I stick them in my shirt pocket. The horse almost removed my nipple. Getting the carrot out of my shirt pocket, you know, taking the pocket and everything, but literally clump. I was like, man, I'll never forget it. I thought he bit my nipple off.
All right, we got to see now. Do you have two or do you have just one?
I still have two. I was just glad I didn't, you know, carry it in the, like a...
He's got three.
Or do you have a thripple? All right.
No, boys are boys and girls are girls.
Man, I'll tell you something. Yeah. But no, I'm serious. I want to know, folks in the chat, have you ever wrestled a bear? Because I have. Now, I don't know how many people remember this. And frankly, I don't know if this was just one act or two. But at our mall for, I think, 3 days, I guess a guy brought in a guy brought in a bear. And I think at that time, it was in the 70s. So for like $20, you could wrestle the bear. And supposedly the bear was, you know, he wasn't going to kill you, but you could wrestle the bear.
Well, that would take a lot of assurances, my friend.
Oh, I had signed all kinds of forms. I mean, I remember signing like, you know, three or four forms. And that's back when I was a first responder. So, and I'm thinking.
I remember you sending me video, maybe a year ago, of a bear in your backyard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That
was
interesting.
Yeah. And I was like, wow.
And that was no small, that was a black bear, no small bear. Yeah.
Oh, he's a good size
probably
bear.
6.5 foot tall, man.
Yep.
And Maxwell was in my neighbor's backyard, but my camera followed him.
Maxwell was going bananas. I had no idea you had bears that close to you.
Until then, neither did we.
That's a heck of a way to find out. Surprise.
Anyway.
That was a good sized bear.
Yeah, it was. But yeah, so was this, so I mean, you know, I can't remember like what you had to do this. I don't think there was any prize if you pinned the bear, but like hell you were going to pin the bear, right? The bear always got you. And, so I did this and I'm thinking, you know, what sounds like a good idea initially when you're actually doing that, not a good, I'm thinking, holy crap, I am wrestling. What am I, you know, the thoughts that go through your mind.
What was I thinking?
What now? So about like 5.5 seconds later, now, seriously, it was like 5 seconds. Okay. And that was it.
Hurt.
But those 5 seconds were the longest 5 seconds I've ever had. Holy crap.
Did everything go like slow motion and you thought
Yeah. And you know, the bears,
their hands, I can still the feel paws the bear's are,
breath. I mean, I'm thinking he could put his whole head in my head in his mouth, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You hear of accounts with grizzly bears and they always mention the bear's breath.
Oh man.
You know, and I've seen, I've seen the paws and claws on some of them bears. And I mean, they can take your head, Doug, they can take your head off.
Oh,
swipe.
But come on. Seriously, does anyone else in the chat remember that? When did it come to your mall? Because they went to malls. I gotta know. Or was I the only idiot that? No, I mean, I wasn't the only one because believe me, they had like a waiting list, you know? And, it was.
Well, that dude probably had an incident and that got shit canned.
Probably because I don't know. After that, I never saw that happen again.
I'm just trying to picture you looking like over a mirror, Eric, and going, hey, do you want to wrestle the bear? Don't I know?
You know what, Eric the Tech? Okay, I know this is weird, but have you seen the episode of the Beverly Hillbillies where Granny is fighting the kangaroo? Folks in the chat, have you seen that episode?
No.
Oh, man.
If I did, I don't remember it. I used to watch that all the time.
Oh. So she said, hey, Jed, there's a jackrabbit in the backyard or whatever. And anyway, it was just the storyline was funny, but she goes out and she tries to catch this kangaroo, which apparently was, I don't know, it was on loan to the neighbors or something. But anyway, and she's out there, the kangaroo and her are fighting. Folks in the chat, do you remember that? Oh, yeah. Okay, real joy. Yeah, okay.
But they say they'll box you.
Well, at least by that. I don't have any personal. Do you have any personal experience with? Did you ever box a kangaroo?
No, I saw a video once where the guy hopped out of the truck, walked over, and smacked a kangaroo in the head before the kangaroo could punch him.
Oh, man.
They'll attack you and hurt you.
I don't know. We have to ask Adam.
With those feet, I can imagine why she thought it was a jackrabbit.
It was hilarious. I mean, you know, that's when TV was TV.
And
I saw somebody in the chat talk about, you know, All in the Family, Sanford and Son. Can you imagine those shows on today? I mean, we see them in reruns, right?
Yeah.
But, I love it. You know, Archie Bunker.
He was great.
He was great.
He would have lived so much longer if he wasn't so consumed with hate. It was so much hate for that guy that sold the drugs to his son. It ate him up.
Is there a lesson there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was sad. He was very funny, very, very, very funny comedian.
Yeah.
I thought he was great. I loved the show. I'd love to have it on a box set. That is funny.
You know,
she was just so politically incorrect. I loved it.
But you know, I mean, there was so much, there was hilarity in that, but there was so much wrong too. I don't want to be a downer on that, but I can't remember who the guest was now. A long time ago we had, and he was talking about the shows that portray the male of the household inept and stupid and, you know, moronic. Yeah. There's too many shows like that. So, but anyway.
He was funny, and he knew Meathead was stupid.
And in real life now, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Boy. But you know,
so there's no bear wrestlers in the chat.
What's that?
There's no bear wrestlers in the chat.
I can't believe that.
Horse riders.
Well, the horse riders, I get. That's normal.
We love our horses.
Yeah.
Horse riding's a lot of fun.
And Eric the Tech, you know, when he puts that shield down over his face with the eye slits and the metal, you know, on him, and the knight with the...
Charging with the lance.
Right, exactly.
I'm a jouster.
Jouster.
There you go.
Isn't there a sport that's played on horses? Polo or something? Or cricket? Or
cricket.
Horse pool or something? I don't know. What horse the hell is
polo.
It?
Yeah, I think it's polo. I forget polo. What that's called. But I think it is polo.
Yeah, it's horse polo. So the rich people do.
We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
Great song.
What do you mean I'm a mess? Explain. Okay, wait a second. So, BR70. 7562 says I'm a mess. Why am I a mess? I take that personally. Can you do this? Huh? I don't think you can. I gotta hear this. Come on. You wanna come down here? You wanna come down here and say that to my face? Come on.
It's not anything bad.
I'm a mess. No, actually, they're not wrong. They're not wrong. All right.
I've only got one more horse audio clip.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Ready for it?
Is it Mr. Ed? Go ahead.
We did it, Joe.
Oh, Lord. Man, you know what? We dodged that bullet. We dodged that bullet. Thank God for that. Thank God for that, Doug.
Man, can you imagine?
No.
Can you?
No, sir, I cannot.
We'd be
at war.
We'd be dust right now. I mean, I don't know.
The country would be at war. Whether the Civil War would have started.
You know what I was thinking too, and I don't want to get too Norman Vincent Peale-ish on people because that's not my intent. But I do believe that our thoughts, just as our prayers, but our prayers are special, but our thoughts can actually create a certain reality. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The thoughts, enough people thinking about a lottery number. Or a set of three numbers can bring about those three numbers.
Yeah, and again, this is nothing weird. Okay.
No, that's I've heard that. I've heard that many times.
Yeah.
Collective thinking.
Yeah.
Like that. And that's why they say the power of prayer. Because you have so many people praying for the same thing.
Yep.
Things come about. Things come about. We dodged a bullet there. Man.
Yeah, we did.
Man, did we dodge that?
Yeah,
we got to keep President Trump alive, man.
Well, and that's the other thing too, you know.
Genuine concern, because these people are off their rocker, Doug.
the left has declared war on us. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you something. I want to play this one video too. This is video 7. It's a minute 44. Listen to this and understand that this is really, understand what the response is going to be. This is our position, our collective position. And I think I don't want to speak with, I don't want to speak for anyone in the chat or anyone listening or watching this, but I think people as a whole are sick and tired of being sick and tired. Mm-hmm. And this is Stephen Miller. Americans are not sheep for the slaughter anymore. And I caught this and I thought, where would I put this? Here's a good spot in my view, because we're not sheep for the slaughter anymore. We dodged a bullet. We dodged, President Trump literally dodged a bullet. America was came within a half a centimeter of civil war. I believe that. And they're still fighting. But here's our response. Here's cut 7.
We have people criminally trespassing into our country, violating our laws, who are members and associates of the most violent, ruthless, criminal and terrorist organizations on the planet, that are implicated through their membership in terrorism. So illegal alien terrorists, and Democrats are saying, please set them free. Please fly them back. Please let them continue their criminal organization activity. The thing about these organizations, be it TDA or MS-13, is that they are vast networks. They have hitmen. They have drivers. They have associates. They have financial networks. They have traffickers. These are complex organizations. Our job is to find every single person that is part of these networks and get them out of this country as fast as they can. And here's another thing. What does the world see? What do the monsters see when they look at those military planes unloading in El Salvador and getting these illegal aliens off our soil, including child rapists, including stone cold murderers? What does the world see? They see that under Donald Trump, that Americans are not sheep for the slaughter anymore. They see that you don't mess around with our people anymore. It's about damn time, Jesse. It's what Americans voted for. Don't screw with our people. Don't threaten them. Don't attack them. Don't invade them. Do not hurt them in any way, shape, or form. Because if you do, God help you. That's the message from the Trump administration. And it's about damn time, Jesse. I've visited enough family members who've had a loved one ripped away. And I'm not going to stand for it. And most importantly, the president, our president, the leader of the free world, is saying America is closed to murderers, gangbangers, and terrorists.
That's a throwdown, RT.
Yeah, the real threat, and what we have to look at is the ones that were just let in.
Yeah,
that were of military age, military fighting men that are now hidden away in our country. And when they decide to get in the streets and burn down cities and towns, start committing terrorist acts. That's what I was trying to say earlier. We're going to have to meet them. And I mean, it's going to have to be treated like a military operation. We're going to have to gather intel so we know what's coming, what the weapons are, the weaponry, what they plan on doing, the whole nine yards. And Doug, I don't see any other way but to meet them in the street, to send them home in bags.
That's about the only thing we...
Because that will at that let point, them know we're not dicking around with them anymore.
Right.
And we have a country, Doug, that we are allowed to defend. We're not allowed to defend. It's demanded that we defend it.
But did you hear, okay, we must defend it. Absolutely.
Yeah. We have to be willing to go that distance, my friend.
100%. Now, there was a TPUSA event in California. I guess it was yesterday, or I don't know. I forget. I don't know when it was, but violent leftists, they just destroyed the TPUSA, you know, the Turning Point Action USA, Charlie Kirk's thing. And anyway, they destroyed all kinds of stuff. And the cops just stood around looking and watching these activists.
Yep, that's what I'm saying. It's going to fall on us.
Yeah, exactly.
Because one, they're outnumbered. They couldn't If they decided to march into a city, the cops can't do anything. What are they going to do? Especially if these people come in armed. I'm sorry, it's going to have to be patriotic, be helpful to be veterans. And if not, that have been trained by veterans. And we can't let our streets be taken over by this garbage. We cannot be threatened by trash.
Right.
I'm sorry, I refuse. I just assume meet them in the street and settle it the first time out. And do it, you have to do it in such a manner that they don't want to come back out and play.
But are we not, okay, so we are seeing, and I think this follows right along with Rules for Radicals, indivisible creeds, all of these various groups is going all the way back to the 60s from the Weather Underground, SDS, all these groups. Are we not seeing an erosion of civility to the mm-hmm. even within their government?
Mm-hmm.
It's
and when you go and you decide to take these people on, and if they have MS-13 mixed in there or any of these, you know, Salvadoran gang members and all, you're going to have to be ruthless. You're going to have to reach down inside your soul.
Did
you ever see, the movie The Patriot with Mel Gibson?
Parts of it, yeah.
Okay. You have to be what his sons witnessed after they killed his boy.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And they saw him down in the woods with a hatchet killing the individual. You have to go to a side of yourself that people wouldn't even recognize. The side that you don't talk about. The side that when your kids ask, you change the subject. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because that person, you didn't ever want to see that person again. And I'm sorry,
alive.
That person, when I'm talking about your inner self.
Oh, your inner self, yeah.
Yeah, that person, unfortunately, maybe that's why God trained you. You know what I'm saying? And brought you home. Because you're going to have to get down and dirty. You know, this isn't... It's going to get... It can get really nasty really fast. But if it's done correctly, when they're cut off, I mean, where they're trapped and they can't get out and then justice is dealt. I think the cops are just going to stay around and watch or leave.
Most will leave.
They'll leave and they need to get ambulances if you want to try and save any and the rest, bag them up.
And you know... Folks, contrary to popular belief, it's established law that police have no responsibility to protect you. They can be sitting in their cruiser watching you getting the crap beat out of you, and they do not, by law, have to intervene.
Yep. They're not bound.
No. That's by SCOTUS ruling.
Yep. You can come at them and try and cry negligence all you want, but unfortunately, you're responsible for yourself. Yep. And your family. You're there to protect your family, your friends, your neighbors. But, Doug, all those people that they let into the country was for a reason. It wasn't just for votes. They're planning
votes
something.
Is not, I mean, the,
they're planning no. something.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're going to have the luxury of it just happening in one city and we get to respond. You know, I think we're going to have to simultaneously respond in probably 20 major cities.
Or more.
And I'm being realistic.
Or more.
I'm not saying that to screw up everybody's Friday night. I'm just letting you know. Those people weren't brought in here just for giggles.
And I don't think we can get them out fast enough, nor are we getting them out fast enough.
Holman, 1 minute left.
Yeah, Holman can't get them out.
Come on, boy.
Yeah, come on in, buddy.
Meeting on Sunday, 1 minute left.
Meeting on Sunday. Oh, to the supporters, 7 p.m. Sunday. Watch for a link. Yeah. Looking forward to that. Thanks for mentioning that. I would have failed to mention that. And to those people attending the Wisconsin Christian News Conference, God bless you.
Be safe. Be careful.
Yeah.
Be vigilant. Stay vigilant.
And don't be messing with roosters, horses, bears, or bulls.
That is sage advice.
And